Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire, a show, a podcast slash video cast interview. Another amazing person here today, our individual dynamic leader that we are going to interview. I'm really excited because she's not in the U.S. So we're expanding our reach and we're getting more and more individuals who are experts in their field and just bringing that wisdom to the women entrepreneurs that are connected to this podcast and video cast. And today, an amazing person to interview. Her name is Paulina Tenner. Welcome, Paulina, to the Women Entrepreneurs Show.
Absolute pleasure to be on. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm loving it. So before we get into your story, I want to read a little bit about your professional bio, and then you can give us the real story.
So, of course. Thank you.
Paulina is an entrepreneur, an angel investor, a TEDx speaker, and a founder of Grantree, started with the purpose to help tech startups navigate the complex world of government funding. Since 2010, the team grew organically from two to over 50 and raised over 200 million euros, which equates to about 209 million US for more than 600 technology startups and scale-ups using solely government funding schemes. Grantree is also an open culture company, which pioneered a self-set salary scheme and an empowering culture governed by holacracy. Paulina is also a seed investor and a startup mentor who features as a keynote, which she just got done with a keynote yesterday, a speaker at technology conferences worldwide. She has been interviewed by the BBC, the Financial Times, The Guardian, featured on Channel 5 in the Huffington Post, and VirginiaStartups.com, and many more. Fun fact, and we can't wait to hear about this, she is also an author of Laid Bare, What the Business Leader Learned from Being a Stripper, describing leadership lessons she learned as a burlesque dancer, which will be coming out in January. Now, is that January of 2022 or 2023?
It's already come out. It's already come out.
So, awesome. Well,
yes. Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah. Welcome again, Paulina, to the Women Entrepreneur Show.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I am, in fact, dialing from Vienna, even though I'm based in London. I just delivered a really exciting keynote yesterday at an innovation conference over here. So, yeah, really excited to be in the show. Welcome, everyone who is tuning in.
I am so excited. I'm glad that you were able to fit us in your busy schedule. And I look forward to hearing more about your business, because clearly, I mean, when I read through this, you know, organically your company grew into the double, from two people to over 50 people. You've helped obviously a lot of other companies start up and grow based on finding funding, which is a challenge for a lot of entrepreneurs. Mm. So give us a little bit of a background, and I'm sure there's a lot that is covered in the book. But give us a little bit of background that led you from that role of being a burlesque dancer into being a company owner.
Yeah, so actually the two kind of happened in parallel. So I arrived in London in 2006 and I got immediately attracted to the entrepreneurial community, because those were the people that had the chutzpah to decide, oh, I want to disrupt this given industry. And actually going for it. And I was like, oh my God, I really want to be part of this crowd. It just felt like the kind of people that I wanted to hang out with. So I started my first company, then I started my second, Grantree, which is doing quite well. And maybe two or three years into the development of that company, I felt like, okay, I'm clearly shining as a business person. I'm really kind of surprised by how well I'm able to actually build a business, which is probably one of the most difficult things I've done. However, it feels like something very, very precious is being lost. So the part of me that I used to love so much, the creativity, the rebelliousness, the playfulness, that is somehow gone, because there's just no space for it in my career and in my working day. And as I was having those thoughts, there was this particular day when I was walking from London Piccadilly Circus to Leicester Square in for a business meeting, and I passed by a cabaret venue. And as the chance might be, they were just having a burlesque show rehearsal. And I just dropped in, popped in, had a little look. And I was absolutely mesmerized by what I saw there, because what I saw there was exactly what I felt I was missing in my life. So it wasn't just about the costumes and the glitter and the sequins. It was just about the sense of freedom and passion and absolute loving of life. And I just felt, wow, like this could be me, but not in this lifetime. In this lifetime, I'm this business person who is talking to CEOs, CFOs during her working day. And this is not meant to me, for me. And then I thought to myself, well, why not? Why can't I have everything in my life that I would want to? And so I treated it as a project. I decided I was going to find out how one becomes a burlesque showgirl. So I did the research. I spoke to a few people in my network and I found a few burlesque schools in London. I joined one of them. I did a few courses. And one of the greatest adventures in my life began. So that's the short story. So I would say for quite a while, I had this double life where I was doing business during the day and I was dancing burlesque at night. And I felt it was like really exciting and naughty. And at some point, I was just like, I'm going to merge those two identities and be just open and transparent with the world about who I am and what I do. It gives me great joy, great pleasure. And I think our true power lies at the intersection of where different parts of our personality meet and interact.
I love that. I love that. I'm all about the personality because I'm all about that neuroscience of what makes people tick. And I love that you were able to let go of the confines of, you know, those thought processes that stop you from doing something that is so seemingly outside of your norm. And then embrace that and be able to have them both and enjoy them both in your life. Mm. So you're still a CEO. Are you still embracing the dancing?
So at this point, I'm a non-executive director, so just an advisor to my company. So I retired from it to pursue several personal business projects that I have on the go right now. Speaking is one of them. So I have some involvement, but not active day-to-day involvement in the business. But I still kind of reap the benefits of having been the founder and being paid dividends, etc. So that leaves me in a really kind of comfortable financial position to pursue kind of pretty much whatever interests me, which is a beautiful place to be. And yes, I am dancing. It's a hobby. It's not something that I do on a regular basis. But I am just negotiating with one event promoter to do my kind of keynote speech, which is most popular at the moment, what the business leader learned from the stripper, and follow it up by a burlesque performance. So really bringing those two aspects of my personality together. I'm really excited about this, honestly. Immensely excited.
Very cool. So in this, because you were building in the financial world, right?
Yes.
The dollars and cents. And that's really a very male dominated industry. It's not something where you see a lot of, I mean, just period, there aren't nearly as many female CEOs of companies as there are male CEOs. And even more so, that balance is even further off when you talk about finances or the financial industry. So what did you learn in that space? Like what was it like being a female, bringing your gifts as a woman into that space?
Very good question, because in my book, actually, I talk a lot about what I like to refer to as the masculine side of our leadership and the feminine side of our leadership. So having started a business and kind of really reoriented the entirety of my life around this kind of new identity of being a businesswoman, I found that I was very good when it came to this kind of masculine leadership. So I was very kind of oriented towards competition, getting things done, being organized, being ambitious, and that's all well and good. But I was missing the other aspect of leadership, which is equally vital, which is all about intuition, which is about playfulness and creativity, which is about being able to stop and tune into yourself and tune into the moment, which is about surrendering to the kind of flow of life as opposed to always having an agenda. And in the book, I write a lot about how being a burlesque dancer and how, in fact, having any embodied hobby can help you integrate both parts of leadership and become a much more powerful leader overall, the kind of leader that I believe the world really badly needs right now. You know, people who have integrated the very competitive, ambitious, goal-oriented part with the values-driven part, with the much more emotionally aware part. I think that those are the kind of people that I really aspire to and that I want to spend my time with in my life.
Yeah, you know, I think that's important. One of the, you hit on some things, being able to really embrace, like, you function in that male-dominated world, but do so and allowing your female brain strengths to come through. One of the things that I talk about to female leaders is you have natural, men have natural gifts, women have natural gifts. And oftentimes, if you're in a male-dominated world, you kind of hide those female gifts, right? You don't embrace them as much. But it sounds like you really, in your life, by integrating this hobby of sorts that became part of who you are, you were able to embrace that well.
Yeah, really taught me, kind of took me back to my femininity, to my body, to my intuition, to my listening skills, to the wisdom of my body, which these days really helps me make business decisions, for example. So I think what I advise startup founders and leaders is to find a way back home to their bodies, is to really, you know, come back to their hearts, their guts, as opposed to just being stuck in their heads, which, you know, I used to be. I was in that world very much so. So I was a woman in business, but very masculine in a sense of my leadership qualities there were very masculine and kind of oriented towards ambition, competitiveness, etc.
And yet you found your greater success, or at least emotional success, when you... we're able to embrace both. Is that kind of the messaging that I'm hearing?
Absolutely. And I just can't help feeling the more founders and really amazing leaders I'm meeting, that what we really need right now as a global population is to solve some of the kind of global crisis that we're dealing with, is people who are integrated leaders that have, you know, both of the qualities around the masculine leadership, being organized, being competitive, being ambitious, but also around the kind of feminine or kind of yin as opposed to yang leadership qualities. And that's around values, that's around, you know, being community minded, that's around being intuitive. I honestly think that we need both to really, you know, thrive in the world and to kind of repair a lot of damage that we've done over the decades and the centuries.
Yeah, I'd like your angle that you're coming at it from, because again, when I teach, I'm always teaching the difference in the brain, right? And the Y chromosome definitely is different than the XY is different than the XX. And I always talk about, like, on your board of directors, on your board of advisors and your leadership teams, you need to have both brains, right? You need to have... Yeah. So that you have both those influences, but you're saying that even with that, you want to tap into, or what benefited you was being able to incorporate both of those in your own brain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So what I kind of talk about when I mentor a lot of startups, for example, is the so-called inner board of directors. So who sits on your inner board of directors? What are those different kind of voices or forces that guide you in your decisions and in your everyday life? And it really, really helps to have a really good diversity on your inner board of directors in terms of different voices that can pull you in the direction of the mind, the logic, but also that can pull you into the direction of intuition, embodied wisdom, values, etc. And I think that really matters. And all of us, regardless of genders, have the capacity to tune into both sides and integrate them. So achieve what, you know, tantric masters refer to as the inner marriage.
Very, very interesting. Now, you wear a lot of hats. You have here queen, warrioress, lover, mother, witch. So tell us about those different hats. You have a family. Obviously, you have children.
No, I have a husband and parents still around, which is amazing, and a sister who just got married. I really believe in having a balance in your life, and that's something I had to grow into. As you know, when I was growing my businesses, I was really, really heavily focused on that, you know, productivity, competitiveness, and that doesn't really bring, at the end of the day, real satisfaction or real fulfillment if there is no balance in with the other aspects of who I am and of my life. So it's super important for me these days to spend enough time just helping my friends and just being there for them, or just being of use to the wider community. So even though I'm a paid keynote speaker these days, I still sometimes do unpaid speaking gigs just because I want to support community, or I mentor startups for free. So there's also a part of me that really wants to contribute and really wants to kind of add value. And because I've been helped on my journey, I want to be able to pay that forward and help people who are where maybe I was a few years ago. So that's super important to me. So I have that recognition, I guess, and I'm still growing in that, that there are different aspects of me, different hats I'm wearing, different roles I'm playing in my life. And unless I can have a balance between them, and unless I can kind of seamlessly step from one role to the other, almost kind of every day of my working life, then at the end of the day, I will not die as a fulfilled, kind of wholesome individual, having lived a rich life, you know, because I don't want to just be immensely successful, but not having contributed, not having loved and supported people in my life.
Mm-hmm. Or had people love and support you.
Absolutely. That goes both ways, always. Absolutely. Yeah.
So did you have a mentor? Did you have a powerful businesswoman or influence in your life that gave you, because you, you know, doing all of this, you've accomplished so much. Did you have a mentor that helped you along the way?
I've had several, yes, across the years, and I've kind of mentored startups as well on my end. So yes, there were quite a few people that I've been influenced by. My first business partner was someone who was in their 50s while I was in my early 20s. So I learned a lot from him about business. I actually learned everything I know about business from, you know, hanging out with people who are much better than me at a number of things. So I owe a lot to people that have been open enough and helpful enough, and to people that I've met on my ways. So I do my best to be the same, to pay it forward as much as I'm able to, in terms of being helpful to people that are earlier on their journey than I am at this present moment.
That's so awesome. So what would be your biggest piece of advice, your biggest, because there are a lot of challenges for women entrepreneurs, challenges that are unique to women. Not that men don't have challenges as well. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world. So obviously there are a lot of challenges, period. But women tend to have this battle between their home and the things that they do there. And you just talked beautifully about how to, you know, keep balance between all of those. But if you've got, because we do have a lot of women entrepreneurs, obviously, that listen to this, if you have one that's looking at, or they're struggling maybe with keeping that balance, or they're struggling, maybe it's with trying to get capital, like, what's your biggest piece of advice? What would you say to a young female entrepreneur, or even a middle-aged female entrepreneur that's getting started in their business?
I would say that everything starts with filling your own cup first, and self-awareness and self-knowledge. And obviously that's a lifelong process. Mm-hmm. So there is quite a lot of things I know about myself in my late 30s now that I didn't know about myself in my early 20s, for example. However, it's a lifelong process of discovery. But unless you are clear about your own values, about what's important to you, about how to look after yourself and your own biological, emotional needs, you will not be able to support a team and build something that's long-lasting and sustainable. So honestly, start with yourself as well first, with your self-knowledge, with your own self-awareness. Spend time, dedicate time, invest time into building that most important relationship of our lives, which is our relationship with ourselves. And as much as I am a strong advocate of having a mentor and listening to other people that are more experienced than you, I'm also an advocate of listening to your own inner voices and the voice of intuition. And I wish I was doing that a lot more early on in my career. So trust yourself. Know yourself, trust yourself. That would be it.
I like that. And do something fun for yourself. I mean, you've patterned such a beautiful pattern. You want to do something totally out of the box, yeah. But it fills you. It helps you to have fun. It helps you with that, you know, that self-care.
I would say it's essential. And that's one of the key reasons why I wrote the book and why I actually keep talking about, you know, what the business leader learned from the stripper. Not because a lot of people in the audience will have had experience with burlesque. Not at all. But I really try to advocate that being able to tap into that wild, passionate, controversial side, which all of us have in some shape or form, will ultimately make you a more fulfilled and passionate and magnetic human being, and B, will change and transform the way you show up in business. So I would say it's absolutely essential, particularly for a budding entrepreneur, because I've been there. I remember working, you know, 60 hours a week and absolutely every ounce of my energy going into the business. It's absolutely essential to have that one thing at least, which is all about your enjoyment, which is the me time and where you get replenished, where you get kind of your creative juices flowing. I think it's absolutely essential element of self-care for entrepreneurs.
I love it. Such an amazing message in that. Now, is that part of the message? Tell us a little bit about the book before we need to kind of wrap up here in a couple of minutes, but tell us a little bit about the book that came out in January. Is that part of the message that you carry in there?
Yes, absolutely. So the first part of the book is dedicated to the kind of like evolution of my company, and my company Grantree is quite unique in that it implemented a number of very innovative cultural practices around self-set pay, for example, where people were empowered to choose their own salaries based on their research of the market and based on a given process that they had to follow. We have complete financial transparency, meaning people know what everybody else is earning, what the company is spending money on, etc., etc. So the first part of the book is all about kind of our evolution and how we decided to kind of like, you know, just instead of settling for a traditional hierarchical setup, do something weird and do something different. And the lessons that we've learned, of which there were plenty, and the things that we did wrong and what we've learned, and I can kind of give some advice to people that are committed to creating extraordinary workplaces, how to do that, and at least, you know, based on our learnings, what are the things that you might want to consider or look into. And the second part of the book is dedicated much more to the feminine and masculine leadership qualities, but also how, you know, feminine and masculine leadership shows up in the world and what to do to build those two internal capacities and to be able to get to a point where you can become an integrated, wise, mature, developed leader, kind of leader that the world really needs right now.
Amazing. Awesome. So we just put up on the screen, and it'll be in the show notes, how to, with the name of the book, Laid Bare, What the Business Leader Learned from the Stripper. It should be a fascinating read. And if people want to follow you, let me see here. We also probably have some, do we have, you can go to Paulina.com. Tenor.com.
Yes, yeah, so it's very easy. I'm just going to type it in here. It's at Paulina Tenner on all social media. So that's my first name and my last name. And my personal website is paulinatenor.com, and you can sign up for updates there as well and have a look at
Perfect.
the book and some of the keynotes I've done, and just connect with me. I love connecting with entrepreneurs. I consciously, part of my time, no matter how busy I am, goes to being able to support founders and have those conversations, which, sometimes are life-changing for people and sometimes are just like a little stepping stone on their journey.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm looking forward to staying connected with you. We will have all of those links in the show on the description page on the YouTube channel, as well as if you're listening to this as a podcast, in the show page at Women Entrepreneurs Podcast Network, .com. So we are excited that we had you here, Paulina. Thank you very much. I know it's later in the day, in the evening for you, and I know you had a busy travel with your keynote yesterday. So we're honored that you were on the program with us today. Thank you very much for joining
Likewise,
us.
thank you so much for finding a slot for me in your show. I think it's a fantastic show, particularly to inspiring female entrepreneurs. And I'm so much about supporting ladies in business. So it's been a great pleasure, a great honor to be on your show today.
I love it. Thank you for being here. And for those of you who want to get more or want to follow Women Entrepreneurs, you can go to we're at we.com. No, at we.entrepreneur on Instagram. We are Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire.com is our website. We're under a complete redo right now, so it may be down when you go there. But if it isn't, then, or if it is, go ahead and check back in a couple of weeks. We're real excited on what we're launching there. Women, all plural, women entrepreneurs with an S.com. If you want information on perhaps being on the show or becoming a member, send an email to info at women entrepreneurs extraordinaire.com, or talk to our group liaison, Kelly Cooper, Kelli at womenentrepreneurs.com, and we'll get you connected. And once again, thank you, Paulina, for being here. Thank you. We are honored that you were here. We are honored for everybody who is watching this program and taking and share it. Give us a thumbs up, give us a share, comment. All of that helps it too. If this is a great message that you think your friends or your colleagues should hear, then all of that, pumps up the ratings. So, anyways, thank you so very much. And as I like to finish all of my shows, I want everyone to go outside, get some fresh air, and simply enjoy every moment.